Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Podomation Update, where I have a bit of a chat about the automation behind podcasting. It's a bit sciencey. It's in terms of it's a software problem and a sort of strategic problem. I've been through a phase of development. That is where you sort of, I suppose, get a beachhead, get a podcast constructed and onto the internet, and then have that automated, which is a fairly straightforward thing. That particular step is a bit of a cautious step. You can do it yourself, but it's very hard to actually get all the security measures, get it encrypted, get your password encrypted when it's sent over. And so it means that people can actually just, if they wanted to, hack into it. And it also brings in the requirement to actually back up your whole website. So I'm going to have to look into that at the moment. So that pushes you down a particular route. And with all things, you discover things aren't necessarily, you put it through and, all the signs are there that it's working, but then when you look at it, the podcast hasn't uploaded for various reasons. And there's sort of the frustrating thing in that the software publishes the blog, and then maybe 3 hours later before the bandwidth is down or up enough for it to actually decide to actually upload the stuff. So you've got users clicking on your automation thing, your podcast, and it hasn't uploaded yet. It's something obviously doing privately, the various routes going up in terms of building error trapping and security, not security but checking, is something that you have to do after the actual software stabilized a bit. So initially the thing was just getting the podcast up there and a direct link to it, but then putting the podcast in MP3, MP4, resources all in the folder that could all be cross-referenced, moved across, so the folder's sitting at your side, you can actually check it's all there, all working, and then it just gets transferred at a magic point in time, or not, as the case may be. I came up to it trying to, it's not necessarily clear why sort of a few areas of podcasts don't work. There was one that, amazingly, just putting an apostrophe in the cover art was sufficient to actually have a total meltdown, and that took a while to actually solve. How do you put an apostrophe in there? That's a double backslash. Or is it triple backslash? I'll have to look at it. Apostrophe. That's in order to actually get the literal name, meaning of apostrophe to the various layers, handling layers of this software that you don't know. there's sort of two things where it's not yet stable. You can have error trapping, which is just it reporting errors. Now, this is difficult. So you have a piece of software subroutine, and it will report whether it's successfully completed, and that you can actually wire or get that report to ripple through. So you can see, it can alert you, something has gone wrong. Now, this is okay if you've got a stable software path, but if you are building sort of, say, two or three solutions to a problem and you're seeing which one works the best, building the software path is, the error trapping path is difficult, not impossible, but I haven't done it initially to get it up there. You've got a choice between working on getting the software up, getting more features up, or the security of it. That's a problem. So I will find going up and just do random checks and see, oh, to my horror, a particular piece of software hasn't gone up. Now, I think this is the 36th installment on Japan's Greatest Victory. That just wouldn't go up. And I would put, fortunately now, this is what I mean about building features in. It can just replay the upload sequence. You get the file, redo the entire thing, and it's a bit of a mystery. These things don't automatically go. So the Japan's Greatest Victory 35 went up, 36 wouldn't go up. Oh no, that's 30. Yeah, it was the I had it in brackets 2 in the title, and it's still a bit of a mystery why it wouldn't go up. And then looking back, seeing a lot of people were trying to download the stuff on new generation of apps, which is also important. I'm sort of working towards that, and it's new mathematics. It's unquestionable that it will work. Like, it works locally and works on the net on your computers. So it's unquestionable that it'll go up. But again, when I clicked on that, it didn't download. Fortunately, I was able to go into archives and upload the podcast for that. When I say archives, the recycle bin. I hadn't emptied my recycle bin for a month. Month coming up. So, the issue is that, the processes happen. You go into, up your load, your next one, you just want it to automatically check the internet that the files have been uploaded. And so the solution to this is, again, another piece, and it's like a complete scramble. I've got, it's hard to say, when you just download, sorry, so there are these software packages which are called command lines packages, and so far there's FFmpeg I'm using. So you just download FFmpeg into your directory, and that's in a directory with the executable there. The executable's got to be there. Then when you do a command line based on that directory, you can just command line. It gives you a whole command line library of scripting library. So FFmpeg. This is magic. There's another one which I'm really, lame. Lame is actually the internal software that FFmpeg chooses as useful. So these are nested things, but they provide you little command libraries to do basic things. And so in this case, what we want to do is, run a check that the file that you have, you want on the internet, after all the processing, or A, that it's produced, and in this case there was some problem with it being produced and propagating through, and B, that it exists on the internet. And B, on the internet is a bit more difficult. There's a protocol where you can read files by LabVIEW and go out, and that's sort of a fairly intensive one. However, there's yet another software area you can get called WGET and WPUT. WPUT is the dangerous one, because it's allows you to put things on the internet into a file, but do you then broadcast in open, clearly in unencrypted stuff. It's making it like a walk in the park for someone to get into your website if you use WPUT. But WGET's a different story, because WGET is any publicly available website, which is obviously a podcast. I'm making those podcasts publicly available. And so you just do WGET, and I just have to say, --spider, the word spider. Why would you use the word spider? What on earth does that mean? It means something to someone, but it's there, and so a little bit of looking. You see that, and so WGET spider, and then where you've tried to upload the file to. You just say, how many megabytes are there? How many megabytes are there? And so it does it twice for the MP4, MP3, reports the number of megabytes, converts that into a string, and then it iteratively, I'll show it up there, you press a button, and we'll go through it, because this takes about 2 seconds, right, 3 seconds of downtime while it's actually going. I'm speaking. It's a very sort of slow process, slow laborious process, but it really has to be done that way, because what happens is that these files are now packed sort of almost at random on the website in these folders, which are the actual resource folders for them, which, because you're pointed to, and yeah, there's still the issue of compressing the files. Now I've got the MP3 files compressed, and the MP4 file is still sitting out there bloated. So I'm getting a factor of 2 or 3 times compression from when I record it, and you have to record it high quality. That's sort of just it. You really have to record it at 128. We couldn't be kilobits per second. And somehow that, you would think 60 times that would be a minute, but really it turns out to be a megabyte per minute. So somehow something is done. And so there's 2 streams of 64 kilobytes because it's recorded in stereo. And indeed, in terms of comprehensibility, in terms of, I have found in class that having a good stereo speaking is far more comprehensible. In fact, in class, I bring in my own trolley of audio-visual equipment, simply because I've worked out that the installed sound systems are just dreadful, or I've come across them as dreadful, and there's these other sound systems, if you can have from a central port, with, you know, a better pitch control and stereo, students pick it up much more easily. They're not, you can see from their face. It's like, if it's poor sound, they look up and try and listen. If it's good sound, they can continue working. It's sort of as if, like, I'm speaking to them. So this is why we'll podcast in stereo and put it all the way down, which ultimately leads to a factor of 2-ish in terms of the data penalty coming across. So this is I think now we've entered a regime of greater reliability. I'll be able to podcast more consistently with less worry in that. There's still the issue that if I've got a fault, I will just keep on run a series of tests, and each test will put up a podcast, and then you get all these people logging. Even though I haven't broadcast the podcast properly, it's locally into the blog, people will be looking at that and sort of filing through, even though it's just a test. So it might be podcast test, script test, and a little bit of an MP3, MP4 file, just to check out what's going on, whether the system works. But that will still go on. But I think it'll be at least a shorter time before I trap what's going on. So as every podcast I do, will in doing it, so there's obviously about 20 minutes at most, or at least between podcasts, 20-minute podcasts. So say there'll be an hour or so between going in, recording and publishing the podcast, in that time frame, which is roughly the time frame to upload through this incredibly slow upload process. So the upload is sometimes as small as 14 kilobytes per second. So that's a long time. And why does it? One doesn't know. It's up in, over in Glenbrook. And fortunately, it hasn't rained. When it rains, the internet connections really go down. We've got copper wire and that type of stuff, but hopefully things will change along the place. And so that's not really an earth-shattering thing. I think what is earth-shattering is being able to align the podcasts into an app, and that's a more relaxed process, because you've got to have 20, 30 podcasts on a series, and then just whack it in an app. I'll do it there. Thanks a lot for listening. podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. How you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.